She was holding something in front of her.
"It just fell out of the flies," she said. "His poor hat."
Bucket looked up. As his eyes grew accustomed to the darkness, he made out a shape up among the battens, spinning slowly.
"Oh, dear," he said, "and I thought he'd written such a polite letter."
"Really? Then now read this one," said Salzella, coming up behind him.
"Must I?
It's addressed to you."
Bucket unfolded the piece of paper.
"Aha, ha, 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 ha. Aha, ha, 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 ha. Yours,
the Opera Ghost.
P.S. Aha, ha, 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 ha."
He gave Salzella an agonized look.
"Who's the poor fellow up there?"
"Mr. Pounder, the rat catcher. Rope dropped around his neck, other end attached to some sandbags. They went down, he went up."
"I don't understand. Is this man mad?"
Salzella put an arm around his shoulders and led him away from the crowd. "Well, now," he said, as kindly as he could, "a man who wears evening dress all the time, lurks in the shadows and occasionally kills people. Then he sends little notes writing maniacal laughter. 5 exclamation marks again, I notice. We have to ask ourselves, is this the career of a sane man?"
But why is he doing it?"
wailed Bucket. "That is only a relevant question if he is sane," said Salzella calmly. "He may be doing it because the little yellow pixies tell him to."
"Sane? How can he be sane?" said Bucket. "You were right, you know. The atmosphere in this place would drive anyone crazy. I very well may be the only one here with both feet on the ground."
He turned. His eyes narrowed when he saw a group of chorus girls whispering nervously.
"You, girls, don't just stand there. Let's see you jump up and down," he rasped. "On one leg."
He turned back to Salzella. "What was I saying?"
"You were saying," said Salzella, "that you have both feet on the ground, unlike the corpse de ballet. And the corpse de Monsieur Pounder."
"I think that comment was in rather poor taste," said Bucket coldly.
"My view," said the director of music, "is that we should shut down, get all the able-bodied men together, issue them with torches, go through this place from top to bottom, flush him out, chase him through the city, catch him and beat him to a pulp, and then throw what's left into the river. It's the only way to be sure."
"You know we can't afford to shut down," Bucket said.
"We seem to make thousands a week, but we seem to spend thousands a week, too.
I'm sure I don't know where it goes. I thought running this place was just a matter of getting bums on seats, but every time I look up, there's a bum spinning gently in the air. What's he going to do next, I ask myself?"
They looked at one another, and then, as if pulled by some kind of animal magnetism, their gazes turned and flew out over the auditorium until they found the huge, glittering bulk of the chandelier.
"Oh, no," moaned Bucket. "He wouldn't, would he? That would shut us down."
Salzella sighed.
"Look, it weighs more than a ton," he said. "The supporting rope is thicker than your arm. The winch is padlocked when it's not in use. It's safe."
They looked at one another.
"I'll have a man guard it every minute there's a performance," said Salzella. "I'll do it personally, if you like."
"And he wants Christine to sing Iodine tonight. She's got a voice like a whistle."
Salzella raised his eyebrows.
"That, at least, is not a problem, is it?" he said.
"Isn't it? It's a key role."
Salzella put his arm around the owner's shoulders.
"I think perhaps it is time for you to explore a few more little-known corners of the wonderful world that is opera," he said.
The stagecoach rolled to a halt in Sartor Square, Ankh-Morpork. The coach agent was waiting impatiently.
"You're 15 hours late, Mr. Reaver," he shouted.
The coach driver nodded impassively. He laid the reins down, jumped off the box, and inspected the horses. There was a certain woodenness about his movements. Passengers were grabbing their baggage and hurrying away.
"Well," said the agent. "We had a picnic," said the coach driver. His face was grey. "You stopped for a picnic?" "And a bit of a sing-song," said the driver, pulling the horse's feed bags from under the seat. You are telling me that you stopped the mail coach for a picnic and a sing-song?
Oh, and the cat got stuck up a tree. He sucked his hand, and the agent noticed that a handkerchief was tied around it.